Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, final hour of the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. We've mentioned it the last couple of days, and he has arrived. He is in studio with us, Mayor Jacob Frey, my friend Stephen Silton, our resident attorney in studio for the hour as well. Both of you guys, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Man, this is fun. And we talked about getting you in studio going back to Vagabondo.
That's right.
When we were out in Excelsior at the David FEMA spot, and then Steve made sure it was going to happen. And Steve is here like almost weekly when he's not internationally traveling. But happy to have you here, Mayor. I wanted to start with this. I think that a lot of times in our lives, we get caught up in titles, and people don't always know who we are. Mm-hmm. So my first question to Jacob Frey, not Mayor Jacob Frey, but Jacob Frey, who is Jacob Frey? How would you describe yourself to someone out there listening that has never actually met you or knows a lot about you beyond the title of mayor?
Well, I think we all walk around with these titles that are strapped to us, and the title that matters most to me is husband to an incredible wife, Sarah, a father to now two kids, Frida, who's five, and Estelle, who is like, I don't know, 12 weeks old. I'm someone who I think most people would say that I'm relatively intense. I love life. I love people. I believe in a direct correlation between hard work and success. And I know with certainty that I don't know a great way of answering this question beyond that. But I'm also a proud mayor of the greatest city in the entire world, of Minneapolis.
I love that. The greatest city.
How do
in the
people answer
world?
That question? I mean, do you say, does one provide the things in their life that they're most proud of? Do they provide titles? Do they say that they're a caring person? Do they get philosophical? What's the best way to go down the road?
I guess I'll put myself, yeah. I'll answer the question for myself. Henry Lake is somebody that cares deeply about our community, being a Northsider my entire life. Mm-hmm. Somebody that has left away and went to Morehouse College in Atlanta and came back to give back to the community. I am somebody that is of the blood of ancestors who believe in fighting for everyone, not for one specific community, not for just those that have been systemically underprivileged, but I am somebody that believes in utilizing my voice and my platform for everyone. I am somebody that is unafraid to challenge people. I am not somebody that views myself as a talk show host or a television personality. I have been in education. I do things because I think it's the right thing to do. And so, like, for me, I always want to be viewed as a good son, a good brother, a good community member, a good Minnesotan. Mm.
Yeah, me too. I'll just adopt your answer. How about that?
I have to say, I don't want to do this right off the back, but if I'm grading answers, Henry, yours was better.
Yours was better. Kicked the crap out of my answer.
Yes.
Something tells me he's thought about that one for a little bit.
That was actually a more political answer
than the politician, though, over there.
Yes.
All right, let's get to it. You know, one of the topics that continues to come up is, because right now we're in downtown Minneapolis. That's where WCCO Radio is housed. The more vibrant that downtown Minneapolis is, the better that we do financially in this area of town, the more successful our state's going to be. So at this particular point, just coming out of COVID, and I know it takes some time, what is the continued plans maybe to kind of revive downtown Minneapolis?
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be the cities that cling white-knuckled to what once was that are ultimately successful. It'll be those that embrace change. And this whole concept of remote or distance work, it was probably inevitable, but it got expedited by like 5 to 8 years by COVID-19, and so we're having to deal with it faster. And so what are we going to do to change the dynamic? Number of things. First, we are converting a whole lot of these buildings from commercial office space to residential, focusing first on the older pre-World War II buildings. These are buildings where you can like open a window. People generally like fresh air where they live. The floor plate works better. And so we're going to change those buildings to residential. We're going to move the businesses then into the more sleek glass skyscrapers that will never be residential. And then you create a dynamic where you got more people on the street. Second thing that we're going to do is make sure that we have a diversity of use in the core of downtown. If you look over not too many blocks from here to North Loop, you have that diversity of use. And I was the council member of North Loop before it was the North Loop that it is today. And when I took office, I said, I want everything in one neighborhood. Residential, commercial, light industrial, bars, restaurants, entertainment, all of it in one neighborhood. And when you do that, you create this beautiful diversity of use all in one spot. You have constant inflow and outflow of people through the space that has eyes on the street. And then it creates a dynamic that it's just exciting to kind of hang out in. And if I go into work out at like 5 a.m. in North Loop, which I often do, you know, there'll be someone pushing a stroller. Someone's going out for a morning jog. My father-in-law is coming back from having delivered papers for the Star Tribune working the night shift. And there's people on the street, and it works. Now, you know what's not like that? The core of downtown. Because it was built for a whole bunch of people coming into work at 8:30 a.m. and leaving at 5:30 p.m. or whatever. And so what we need to do is add a diversity of use there in the core of downtown and then break up some of the space. This is the final thing. I know this is a longer answer, but it's an important one.
No, it's good.
I know there's a lot of nostalgia that's attached to Dayton's, maybe Macy's. You all probably remember we had like a Sports Authority here and a Barnes & Noble. That era is dead. It's dead in every city, including Minneapolis. But what is not dead is retail. What is not dead are these small and locally owned joints. And I want not just one big vanilla conglomerate on each block on Nicollet, like a Barnes & Noble. I want like 5 or 6 or 8 different small and locally owned shops. You can go out and get a drink, and then you have some dinner. You buy a nice coat. You go see a Twins game. You go to the theater. It's not just you're going to buy a baseball mitt, which you can easily do online. You are going to have an experience in a great city, and we shouldn't be afraid to lean into that.
Well, I'm glad that you answered it in the way that you answered it, and I want to give you props for that because, and I mean this, because I think that nostalgia, people have to move past that. The days of Henry Lake when he was young, catching the bus down here to go to Schindler's to buy baseball cards and to go to the city center and hang out, like all of that stuff, it's a new day. It's a new era. We got to move past that. Right. And I think that a lot of people, when we think about Nicollet specifically and stuff like that, we're holding on to the past. And I think for us to move forward in a positive way, is having a positive mindset about where we're going.
That's right. Well, a lot of people say, hey, I want the downtown of like 20 years ago. And I'm like, wait a second. No, you don't. 20 years ago, the entirety of downtown was like six blocks. North Loop was a bunch of abandoned warehouse buildings. The Mill District, or Downtown East, was an ocean of surface parking lots. And so, really, you are just thinking about heading down to the core of downtown during Christmas time and doing the whole Dayton shindig, which I'm sure, by the way, was spectacular, and we can recreate that in different and new ways. But it's going to be different, and we've got to embrace that change.
You were first elected mayor in 2018, correct?
Correct.
All right, 2018. So I was in Kansas City hosting at a sports station there from 2013 to the end of 2018. And just follow me for a second. 2016-ish, I came home for the holidays, and I'm hanging out, and I was at the Hewing Hotel, which I think opened in 16, and it might have been maybe 2017. Yep. But my point is that when I came home, it seemed like every time that I came home to visit, there were new buildings that were popping up all over the place, specifically in the North Loop. And I kept saying to myself, man, all of these places are popping up. How are people able to, who's going to fill up all of these facilities, all of these buildings? The point I want to talk about and ask you about now is affordable housing. Mm-hmm. That is an issue, or lack thereof. It's becoming increasingly an issue. We here at WCCO Radio have rolled out a multi-part series this week talking about homelessness. And one of the points that has been uncovered is that 50% of the people in this particular survey that they did that identified as homeless actually have jobs, which to me that's scary to think of. And that is a really scary reality. So my point is, or the question is, where are we at with affordable housing? Because it seems like we're just lacking it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we need more affordable housing. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'll give you a couple statistics that people don't know about. Did you know that Minneapolis is broadly recognized as the number one affordable housing city in the whole country?
I was not aware of that.
And people generally aren't. We have kept rents down more than virtually any city in the country. We're either first, second, or third, depending on what list you look at. We are producing 8.5 times the amount of deeply affordable housing since I took office. 8.5 times. And the work that we have done on zoning reform is literally trying to be copied by cities around the country because of the impact that it's had. And so what we have done, the best way to end homelessness is to give people homes. Best way to give people homes is to allow for more affordable housing in the city. And we've done it by, one, increasing supply. You mentioned those homes over in North Loop. We've increased supply. Buildings have gone up in areas that previously had nothing more than a surface parking lot. We've subsidized deeply to bridge that gap between whatever constitutes the market rate and the affordable rate. And here's something that you also might not know, because oftentimes you kind of get sucked into the morass of like local politics here. Minneapolis is one of the only cities in the country that is seeing a dramatic decrease in homelessness and unsheltered homelessness. Does that mean we are where we need to be? No, hard no. It does not. But we're about 35% down right now in unsheltered homelessness. That number continues to go drastically down, whereas almost every other city is seeing an increase. And so here's what we need to do. One, we need to be providing people that next rung on the ladder so that they can pull themselves out from homelessness. You are right. There is a portion of people experiencing homelessness that are, they're working. They are working. But because they don't have that next rung on the ladder, they can't pull themselves out, and because they can't, we are perpetually keeping them as homeless. Not only, by the way, is that the immoral thing, because I believe that everybody should have a home, it's also financially really stupid for the city, because it costs like 3 times as much to have a person cycling through homeless shelters and hospital stays and sometimes jail than it does just to get them the home. And so we are providing deeply affordable homes at record amount right now. In fact, I would put our record up against any other city in the entire country. But we need to do more. We need other cities in Minnesota to do more. We need more people in this region to say, yes, in my backyard, we want to house more people, because I think that's part of our obligation as Minnesotans and just as human beings.
And I look forward to that, you know, those percentages to continue to go down, just because when you look at somebody that I've known for a long, long time, Devin George, mm-hmm. and his investment with the modular stuff that he's doing, that should enhance, you know, the profile of the city and really help combat that issue too.
That's exactly right. I mean, what he's doing with modular housing, and by the way, the city's partnered directly with him, it will enable us to produce more homes at an affordable rate, and to do it relatively expediently too.
Got you. We got Mayor Jacob Frey in studio joining us, Steve Silton as well. He's going to throw in a couple of questions here in the upcoming segment. We appreciate both of them being here on the Lake Show on a Wednesday night on The Good Neighbor.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, segment two, Mayor Jacob Frey in studio. Stephen Silton hanging out with us as well. News Talk 830 WCCO. By the way, the text line, very appreciative of you being on the show this evening, and I appreciate you as well. Let's get to encampments, because that has been something that has been much discussed and talked about over the last several years. How are we as a city, dealing with the encampment issue?
Encampments have been one of the most complex and arguably most difficult issues that we have faced. It is hard. There's not one reason for them, but I'll tell you, the strongest causal connection is with deep addiction. Here's what we do. We go out to those encampments. We have a homeless response team. We provide access to shelter, sometimes access to housing, culturally sensitive care and treatment. We provide wraparound services, and we even go out there with a mobile medical unit, which is basically a bus. And that bus can provide health care on site, things like wound care and addiction treatment. And then we all do all that stuff again and again. And yes, once we've provided extensive service and that service isn't accepted, we do close down the homeless encampment. Why? Because they aren't safe. They're not safe for the people living there. They are not safe for the surrounding communities. I mean, I'm the one that gets the briefing about the 12-year-old girl that's getting trafficked, or the retaliatory shooting that's about to take place. We know that when we remove the homeless encampment, that 911 and 311 calls go down by as much as 80%. And so we do have answers. And at the same time, we've got a lot more work to do. And by the way, as I've said, take a look around Minneapolis right now. You don't see the homeless encampments that you did just a year ago. Why? Because we've gotten ahead of the issue. We have gotten more people into shelter. We've gotten more people into housing. Like I said, we've seen about a 35% reduction in unsheltered homelessness, and that number continues to go drastically down, whereas other cities are seeing it go up. You know, do we have it all figured out? No, we don't, because it's hard. This is a hard issue. And at the same time, we're making progress.
You know, I know your opponent kind of differs with you on this issue, and actually knowing you were going to be on today, I thought about this a lot. Like, I've been and Henry knows this, the listeners do too, I've been a liberal Democrat my entire life.
Yep.
And your opponent, who claims to be kind of on the progressive wing of you, has taken the position that essentially what you're doing is somehow wrong in some way. Yeah. I don't understand, and maybe you can explain the position, or it's tough to put yourself sometimes. What's liberal or progressive about isolating homeless people in an isolated area and not essentially, you know, protecting the most vulnerable people within that community? I mean, forget about the surrounding right. areas, which is also differing the quality of life. And I grew up in Chicago, and I was told big cities were about high quality of life for everybody. How is that? You know, it in some respects, it's like you had to be the most, you know, fascist person to come up with that concept.
So my main opponent, Senator Omar Fateh, has said very clearly that he will not close homeless encampments ever. I'm talking about even like after a mass shooting, which we have had, he still will not close the homeless encampment. And I'll just be real with you. That is not operating in reality. What you do when you have these large scale homeless encampments are you are setting up an open air market for drug dealers and drug lords to prey on really vulnerable people. I've heard him say, well, you need to have the compassionate approach. I'm sorry. There is nothing compassionate about letting a person slowly kill themselves with fentanyl in a homeless encampment. That is not compassion. We've all had people in our lives that have been addicted to drugs. And when somebody in your family is addicted, you give them love. Sometimes you give them tough love. You get them in treatment. You get them better. That's what love looks like. If your family member was in one of these encampments, you would not be okay with it. I have a feeling, Steve.
No.
You know, you would say that's enough. We're not doing this. We're going to get you better. We should be treating everybody like they are a member of our family. And that is not the right answer just to have large scale encampments.
I want to ask you about, and this has been in the news for yet a while, and I know that the next time that I see Governor Walz, I will ask him the same thing. But I have you here this evening, so I'm going to ask you first. It's the topic of waste, fraud, and abuse. The state estimating roughly, what, $1 billion loss. A lot of the problem originating in Minneapolis. How are we going to attack this? What is your plan?
Well, you got to be honest about it. Yes, coming from funds that have gone out of the state of Minnesota, there has been quite a bit of waste, fraud, and abuse. We need compliance checks. You need to make sure that when you sign a contract, the actions taking place in that contract are actually carried out. And I think it's a lot of the stuff that you're mentioning is from the state of Minnesota. It's not mm-hmm. actually the city of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. A lot of the perpetrators of some of these crimes have been in Minneapolis. I mean, look, no matter who you are, you got to follow the law. If you make a commitment to do something, you got to get that thing done. And when you are taking the public's money, this is people's money, the taxpayer dollar, you got to make sure it's spent wisely.
Yeah. But is it, like, nothing is ever simple. It's not an easy thing to do. But I think that right now one of the issues, and we all have this issue, is the confidence that it's going to get taken care of and that we will not continue to have perpetrators continue to do this time and time again. Are you confident that we are going to be able to nip this in the bud?
I sure hope so, yeah. I mean, part of what needed to happen was there be enforcement. If you steal money, and that's what it is, stealing money from kids that would otherwise have that money go to food that they could feed themselves with, you should get in trouble. Big trouble.
No question.
If you are taking money that should have gone to housing people that are homeless or treating patients that are ill, and you use it to buy a car, there's no excuse for that. And I think that's where everybody can kind of join together, Republican, Democrat, anything in between. Waste, fraud, and abuse, no, we got to give that a pretty firm boot from our state.
We got to pay a couple of bills. We're going to come back, take a look at the local weather, and then quickly, I got a few other questions for the mayor of Minneapolis, Mayor Jacob Fry. He joins us on the Lake Show. All right, thanks for listening. Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO, Mayor Jacob Fry. In studio, Stephen Silton, Colson O'Connor, my sports business attorney, joining me in studio. Few more questions for the mayor. The protest had so many people looking at our city, our state. It was just a global thing. And I think that out of that, we're looking to get better in the area of law enforcement and policing. The numbers dramatically went down because there were a lot of resignations and people stepped away from law enforcement. And we understand that part of that was because I think that a lot of people critically in this country looked at law enforcement and there was a negative, well, there's a stigma to it, right, at that particular time. I know that the numbers, you guys have done a much better job of getting the numbers up with the Minneapolis Police Department. Where are we at with those numbers, and how do you think that the overall plan with regards to getting more police on the force to give us better protection and better law enforcement here in Minneapolis, how's that going?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In 2020, we had this very harmful push to defund the police, which was wrongheaded. And following that push, yeah, we had massive attrition from our police department. We lost, I don't know, 40 or 50%. We bottomed out somewhere around 550 officers. And now, yes, we are increasing the numbers on the force. We have seen a 135% increase in applications to become a Minneapolis police officer. The Minneapolis Police Department is now the most diverse it has been in our city's history. And the officers that are coming on right now, they want to be part of the change. They want to get in at the ground level. They want to be an example for so many other cities to follow around the country. And both those that are coming in and those that have stayed, they're very clear-eyed about the commitment that they're making to make this change. And I'll tell you, it's happening. And you don't need to take my word for it. The independent evaluator that is tasked with determining whether we've met the criteria under the consent decree and the settlement agreement is saying that Minneapolis is making more progress towards a foundation of reform than virtually any city in the whole country. So we are increasing the numbers of police officers. And by the way, we need more. We are making the necessary reforms. It's happening. Are we there yet? No. But I'll tell you how we're not going to get there. We're not going to get there with a candidate like Senator Omar Fatah, who's very clearly said that he wants to defund the police. By the way, this is not my just putting words in his mouth. He said this and is now trying to back away from the position without really ever backing away from it at all. You know, there was back, if you look back at 2020, there was this moment where about 2,000 people came to my home. This is maybe 5 or 6 days following the murder of George Floyd. And they asked for me to come outside. And I did because I wanted to show solidarity with a very important cause of reforming the police department. And then they asked me a pretty simple question. Will you commit to defunding and getting rid of the police? And I said no. And I was booed and shamed. There's a very viral video of it. I mean, I was spat on. And frankly, in that moment, I thought that maybe my political career was over. But I slept just fine that night. Because I was certain I had done the right thing. And now, the video that I used to be really embarrassed about, we now use in campaign ads. And so, right now, we need more people that have the guts to push back on what their own side doesn't want to hear. I've heard quite a few people say, well, Donald Trump is in office right now. We got to run to the as far left as we possibly can. But here's the thing. The opposite of Donald Trump extremism is not the opposite extreme. The opposite of Donald Trump extremism is good, thoughtful governance where you listen to experts and you follow data and you hear facts and then you love your city more than your ideology. That's how you have a successful city. You don't do it by running to an extreme that doesn't make any sense.
I appreciated your courage back when you went and faced a crowd in front of your house. I was frankly disappointed that that crowd didn't see the unique opportunity to engage a big city mayor. And frankly, one of the most important issues at the time, I thought it showed a lack of moral clarity on their behalf. I also appreciated your clarity throughout the entire kind of process, which kind of brings me to my question, which is, you know, it's kind of a political cliche that every election is the most important in our lifetime. I do think for Minneapolis mayor, this actually might be the case in light of all that's at stake and the values that we're fighting for. And you've seen a lot of kind of out-of-state money that's come in the form of PACs that have been specifically meant to target you and your vision. I mean, you know, why do you think that is? What is this push, particularly by the DSA, which is the Democratic Socialist America? Frankly, as a lawyer, I'm like, can't we sue them for essentially, you know, they have nothing really, in my opinion, to do with the Democratic Party. But where is this push to essentially infiltrate our cities and the money that's coming from out of the state use to attack you? Where is it coming from?
I can't speak to where exactly it's coming from, but clearly, as you said, it's not coming from here. What I do know is that I didn't run for mayor to further an ideological agenda. That's not the reason I ran. I ran to make Minneapolis a better place. And more and more, I have seen a number of people, including, you know, Senator Omar Fateh, who was pushing a ideological agenda that doesn't necessarily help the city and isn't based in reality. And whether that's around defunding the police, which he supported, or rent control, which flat out doesn't work, whether that's saying that he wants to never close a homeless encampment, that, which, again, that doesn't make any sense, or a variety of other policies out there. I mean, as mayor, I operate in the reality business. And it's an old saying that there is no Democrat or Republican way to, you know, pick up the trash or plow the streets. You got to do it. You do it efficiently. You do it well. And I do. We work very hard to provide that kind of service to a city. But you can't go down the route that he is pushing right now. It doesn't make sense. Not to mention, here's something that gets very little attention. Most of my day is not spent like just taking a bold position and giving a big speech about that position. A lot of my day is spent managing. As mayor, indirectly or directly, I manage 4,000 people approximately that work for the city. These are, you know, everybody from, they fill potholes, they do finance, they put up affordable housing, they respond to 911 calls. And it would be very strange, and I would argue pretty much impossible, for someone who's never managed anybody before to suddenly take on that role. This is a serious role, and I take it very seriously. You know, when I come into work every morning, I mean, I feel the weight on my shoulders. I understand that there's a great responsibility, and I'm uplifted by the people from the city that want to make it a better place. But it's not the time for on-the-job training.
You know, one of the things that we tend to see in the country right now, and it starts at the top, and I get offended by it as an African-American male, is people will look at certain words, steal them, and utilize them in different ways, like woke, for example. DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is not a bad thing, has now all of a sudden become a bad thing. And Donald Trump has attacked this. But the equity gaps in Minnesota, including Minneapolis, just aren't good. And it's some of the poor numbers in the country. And I know this just from even the documentary that's featured myself, Justice Alan Page, my mentor, Marvin Anderson from Reconnect Rondo. How do you advance your equity commitment in this environment with regards to DEI?
Well, first off, it's very silly to be against diversity, equity, inclusion. These are like very basic principles. I mean, the opposite of diversity, is homogeneity. I don't think we're really for that. The opposite of equity is inequity. Is that what you support? And the opposite of inclusion is exclusion.
Mm-hmm.
None of those principles people of any partisan stripe should support. But moreover, I think all of us maybe look at it a little bit too narrow-minded. You know, it's about hiring the best possible people for the job. And you get the best possible work product when you have a variety of backgrounds and perspectives and mentalities at the table. There's not a ton of I haven't hired a ton of black. When I go to hire people, I'm not hiring them because they're black. I'm hiring them because they're talented at doing a specific job, you know? And the fact that I've got a ton of black people in my administration is, again, not because they're black. It's because they're really awesome at finance or they're really good at housing work. And I think far too often we go down this road of focusing too much on the word, and clearly that's what Donald Trump is doing right now. Is the word DEI written in any work plan at the city? And if so, we're going to deprive you of federal funds. That's wrongheaded. Not to mention, it doesn't make any sense for the economic success of the city. Do you know who is opening more businesses than anybody else? Black women. And so if you're trying to make a big comeback, if you're trying to enhance the city's economy, why would you not want to access every bit of talent that you have on the table, including the demographic that is supporting and starting more businesses than anybody else? And so I've simplified even further. Just do the right thing for the economy and make sure that you're hiring a diversity of background. Support your economy and support entrepreneurs of color. Hire immigrants. Make sure that these immigrants can start businesses. By the way, that also supports the economy. You know, Donald Trump is talking about cracking down on all this immigration and deporting people and all this. Like, I'll tell you what, they're some of the hardest workers in our whole city. They're opening businesses like crazy. By the way, they are responsible not for danger, but for safety in our city. And we stand with them.
What we've seen in Chicago, Portland, are you concerned about that here?
Of course, yeah. I mean, when you have somebody in the White House that is openly violating the Constitution, someone who is a threat not just for a partisan viewpoint, but a threat to the republic as a whole, it is a deep concern. And while it is concerning, we're also prepared. We have been making sure that we're doing the necessary work to coordinate with the state, directly with the governor's office, who, by the way, has the sole authority to deploy or not deploy the National Guard. We're working directly with partners in the community and other jurisdictions to make sure that we can support our immigrant community. We're making it very clear that in Minneapolis, they're not just undocumented immigrants. They're our neighbors. We love them, and we're going to stand with them. And so while Donald Trump may come after the very values that make Minneapolis what it is, we're going to stand by those values, and we are not moving an inch.
All right, final thing for you. As a sports fan and, you know, kind of cultivating my radio craft starting in the sports industry at KFAN, I'm a season ticket holder for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I got a lot of friends that still with the Minnesota Lynx, Lindsey Whalen, Rebecca Brunson, whatever. That organization means a lot to me, and it means a lot to the state and to our fans. But specifically to Minneapolis, I know this as a season ticket holder, as a media member that goes to the games. It's time. Like, new arena, whatever, Target Center has been great, but has there been any conversation now that we have new ownership with regards to Mark Lurie and A-Rod and their entire team about a new stadium staying in Minneapolis?
Well, I think the new ownership has made it pretty clear that they're looking for some form of new arena. That's no secret at all. The dynamic that we need to approach is when, where, how. While it is not something that I am willing to publicly subsidize, I do not think that that's the route that best suits Minneapolis. We do want to partner with them. We want to work together to make sure that we galvanize downtown. Downtown is the place to be. I think there are a number of different sites that we're presently exploring to determine what might work best for having a great pedestrian realm, for increasing the opportunities for economic development, for having a true world-class entertainment district. This arena could be a really important step in truly activating what is in and around the Warehouse District or Nicollet Mall. Or a different part of Hennepin, or the farmer's market. There's a ton of different sites. The one thing that I know that is very clear, and obviously I'm biased here, is it's got to be in downtown Minneapolis.
I hear you. Mayor, I appreciate your time. I know that you're a busy man. You've got a lot of things on your plate, and you've got an election coming up. I appreciate you joining me on the Late Show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'll be back.
Mayor Jacob Frey.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.